from runasradio.com. You're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 260 with guest Jess Borland, recorded Monday, April 2nd, 2012. Run As Radio is produced each week by Quap Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and you are listening to Run As Radio. And today, my guest is Jess Borland. Jess is a SQL Server consultant and Microsoft SQL Server MVP. She holds an AAS, that's a Programmer Analyst degree, and she has been working with SQL Server since 2007, focusing on reporting services and day-to-day administration. She's an active member of PASS, Director of Communications for MadPASS, blogger at lessthan.com, and the founder of Tech on Tap. She's a frequent presenter at user groups, SQL Saturdays, and other community events. She's also an avid tweeter, blogger, and runner. Hi there, Jess.
Hi, Richard.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
And I love that you focus on reporting services, because I think it's one of these things that everybody uses and doesn't talk about.
I agree.
It's just sort of a dirty secret. We're still printing stuff out.
It's in so many organizations, and people either aren't aware of it or it's underutilized. And there are so many things you can do with it that I love reporting services from both the design perspective and the administration perspective.
And I also appreciate that it's in the box. You don't have to buy anything else. It's there. You've just been ignoring it.
Exactly. People don't need to go out and invest in a third-party tool. If they have a SQL Server edition, they have reporting services built in. And over the years, it's gotten really, really good.
Really?
Especially as 2008 R2 and now 2012 come into view, they're... The visualizations are enhanced. It can connect to just about any database or flat file system out there. There are new features going in with, alerting and subscriptions that are really useful. So as it comes along, as it grows up, so to say, it gets significantly better, and it's really exciting to see that.
And we really are just talking in 2012. This is like the third or fourth version of SSRS. It's still a young product.
Correct. I mean, the first real version of reporting services only came out in SQL Server 2000.
Oh, yeah.
So it is very new yet.
Okay. And 2012 shipped now. Is it a big jump in SSRS?
Yes, it did ship sometime in March.
Mm-hmm.
The mainstays are the same. The reports can be designed in the Report Builder tool, which is on version 3.0, or Report Designer, which is the snap-in for Visual Studio, part of SQL Server data tools now in 2012. So that's been a small change, the rebranding of the BIDS, the Business Intelligence Design Studio, to SQL Server data tools.
Okay.
Administration still remains the same through either a native website configuration or through a SharePoint farm, so mm-hmm. that hasn't really changed. The designers look very similar. They still have all the components. Really, the big changes would be with, as far as I'm seeing, mostly with SharePoint. Microsoft is really pushing to move reporting and analysis and design over to SharePoint.
Yeah.
Certain features are only available with a SQL Server Enterprise and SharePoint 2010 Enterprise Edition.
Huh, interesting. I struggle with the SharePoint thing in general because I'm always looking for what is it that gets organizations to install SharePoint. And I can't imagine that reporting services would be that product. It's that you're already running SharePoint and you don't want to run a separate site for your reports, so you integrated into SharePoint as well.
In all of the cases that I've seen, yes, that's what's happened. Most people, most companies aren't going to start a SharePoint website or a SharePoint farm solely for reporting services.
Right. And especially when you look at the licensing price tag on Enterprise SQL Server and Enterprise SharePoint, that's pretty costly for a reporting service product. You probably already own those licenses, and that's why you're going to use it.
Correct.
But what does the enterprise part bring to that? Is it really more around the security model, or those are pricey tools? Why does it have to be enterprise?
Well, there's a couple new things that are available with 2012 and SharePoint, and most of them have to do with like real-time reporting and alerting. So subscriptions have been around in reporting services for a long time. Subscriptions are one of my favorite things. They take reports to the next level because you don't have to go in and rerun your reports daily or weekly or monthly, however frequently you need them. You can automate that. Being a former DBA, I love automation.
Sure.
That's what makes life easier. Being able to extend that to reporting and analysis is fantastic. You can set up subscriptions in both the native web mode and in SharePoint. What they're adding into Reporting Services 2012, running on SharePoint 2010 Enterprise, would be the ability to set real-time alerting. So a user can subscribe to a report. And in addition to that, they can also subscribe to an individual report piece. For example, one particular data set in the report.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as that data changes, the report will refresh and rerun automatically for them.
And somehow notifies them that it's done that?
Yes. It will resend it however they had chosen, whether it was an email or a new file share sent out. It will do it automatically.
Oh, I love that. So, yeah, you just receive the report when there's a reason to read it.
Correct.
I once wrote an article, and this is seriously long time ago. I believe it was the 90s. I called the Monday morning crunch because I was working in an office where everybody at 8 o'clock ran the same report.
Yes, I have had that happen before, definitely. And then you have the people that try to get in to the office early in the morning, and then they say the data is not updated yet.
Yeah.
And it can turn into a big mess sometimes. So yeah, this is one new way to solve it. Although with existing reporting services tools, that's still manageable.
Mm-hmm.
Look into things like report caching. That's a big one.
Yeah. Don't recompute what you already have computed.
Yes.
I think I solved my Monday morning crunch by getting one of the staff to come in early, run the report, and make photocopies.
Hand out all the stapled packets of paper on everyone's desk. So they were there when they came in with their Monday morning coffee at 8 a.m.
Yeah, it saved my servers. Rather than spending thousands of dollars on equipment, let's use the photocopier.
Yeah. Business intelligence and reporting has definitely gotten smarter over time.
Now, I think the other way that people would tackle this problem is that they have some kind of dashboard tool that's telling them some numbers have changed and sort of stimulating to say, now would be a good time to run that report now that you can see this is up or that is down, somewhere along that line. Is there some kind of connection between dashboarding and the automated report generation?
Being able to build a dashboard in reporting services is much easier now. There's
mm-hmm.
great visualization tools. A lot of those were added in, SQL Server 2008 and SQL Server 2008 R2. Those have carried over to 2012. And absolutely part of the draw to the SQL 2012 SharePoint 2010, is that you could set a dashboard report piece, one visualization or all of them to update you as soon as one of, perhaps just one KPI changes. Yes, you can absolutely set it up to notify you of that. So it would make it more than just having the CEO or the CFO, log in once a day, look at their SharePoint report page and say, okay, these are how my indicators are. They can be notified in real time.
Right. Yeah, and I guess it's just shortening up that cycle. I mean, what's going on in the back end when that happens? Is it constantly reprocessing that report and then comparing for differences? What's going on?
It is. So that's the downside to it. The data sets will be rerun on the server every X amount of seconds, changeable
wow.
in the configuration file. So there is a performance impact to it.
Yeah.
as with any great new feature. So it would be, do the benefits outweigh the costs?
Well, and I mean, it seems, sounds like it's upsized really simplicity, but it's certainly not for free.
No.
Yeah, I guess if you're coming at it from a DBA perspective, there's other ways to figure out a lower cost trigger to this.
I'm sure there will be a lot of DBAs or, you know, report writers that try to figure out what's the balance between the updates and the system resources. Yes.
Just constantly running the same query over and over is not cheap, depending on the query, of course.
Yeah. And even a well-run query being run every 5 seconds is still using that many resources.
Yeah, you bet.
So another big feature that's coming with SQL Server 2012 and SharePoint 2010 Enterprise Edition, which might be even more exciting to people, it might be a bigger draw, would be Power View.
All right. I do not know what this is. What's the story with Power View?
Okay. Power View is a new data visualization tool. Cool. It's an add-in. It's really meant for a business user to use on the front end. It's going to be all ad hoc reporting for them. So initially, a DBA or a report writer would go through and create, you know, data sets, data connections, data sources, all of the queries that are needed, all of the report parts that are needed, and they publish them out to the SharePoint site.
Mm-hmm.
Then if a user comes out to SharePoint, they're able to go into Power View and create all of these beautiful real-time moving visualizations. And it's actually based in Silverlight, but this is one of those things that's hard to tell over the radio because you definitely want to go out and view some videos on the powerful visualization things. Lines, rather than it just being a static line chart, it'll actually show the line, you know, moving up and down as things grow. Bubble charts become much more powerful because you see things floating across the screen and growing larger and smaller as the data moved. Really beautiful, very powerful.
And yeah, this whole side of real-time reporting. I mean, literally, I come from the era where I didn't like it when people tried to look at the current day's data because you knew it was incomplete. You know, sales always look small because, well, we're still selling today. And they, you know, people would just get themselves into a tizzy over what this data looked like. It's like, well, we haven't done the day's reconciliation yet. So we tend to report on the previous day. Real-time reporting to me is tricky stuff. Like if you're actually going to get it in a way that people are acting effectively. And that seems to be a lot of focus with these new tools like Power View. It's just literally minute by minute as data is coming in, this graph is changing.
Yeah, I agree. There's definitely a change both from the, you know, the developer / DBA perspective on how that's handled and also from a business end. People, you know, people aren't content anymore to wait a day for their data. They're
right.
Just not. They're used to everything being so instantaneous.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of that comes down to internal discussions, making sure that when you're building reports or dashboards that you really get buy-in from the business users on, okay, let's talk about how these things are measured, what the metrics are, how frequently they're reported upon, mm-hmm. good training of users so that they understand if they go to view something from, you know, the current day, it may not be the full story. There are a lot of things involved with reporting besides just, you know, putting a table on a page, deploying it, and having someone run it once a day.
Yeah, yeah. So that's not the way it is these days, that's for sure.
Correct.
This section of Run As Radio is sponsored by Secret Server, the password management software for IT admins. Secret Server helps you manage local admin passwords and service accounts the right way. Get your free 30-day trial for Secret Server at runasradio.com/secret-server. Who's building these reports? Is this still a specialized skill? Are we still struggling to make, you know, query by example and let the regular mortals do reporting, build their own reports work?
You know, there are so many choices now, and that's one of the really exciting things about reporting services. There's so many choices of tools and different pieces that can be put together so that a wide range of people can build it. Mm-hmm. You know, we still have Report Designer, which, as I mentioned, part of the SQL Server data tools, really designed for, you know, the power users that are familiar with SQL Server, that they are the ones that are deciding what data sources we're connecting to. They're building the data sets. They're creating the charts and the tablexes and really aggregating all the data up. What we've been allowed to do now is take the next step to have like a middle layer where we can publish, just instead of having to publish an entire report, we can now publish report parts. So you can publish a data set and publish a chart and publish a visualization individually, allowing kind of a middle layer, like business analyst person to come in and say, okay, well, I want to report on the sales for the year and profit for the year. They don't have to go back to the report writer and say, I need a whole new report. They can just go out and use a tool like Report Builder to connect to the server, take a couple of existing report parts. They don't need to know SQL. They just need to know this data set gets me what I need. This chart shows me what I need. Put it together and visualize it in their own way. And now tools like PowerView are coming to the forefront for people that don't have perhaps any SQL knowledge. They are, you know, pure business end users. They want to build their own reports without having to wait for people. As long as those pieces are out there waiting for right. them, they can put them together. So it's really becoming a full spectrum product.
Well, and I like this idea that we as the tech people are building the initial reports in the form of these parts. So we're not just trying to build abstract meta objects that other people eventually use for reporting, but we just make reports and that those residuals naturally can be grabbed and made into other reports.
Yes.
And that's tricky. I mean, you got to, they're always going to want something a little different too.
Yes. Every user will want to see something tweaked. That when I ran my first big reporting services site back in SQL Server 2005, you know, you could have one report with six different variations because one person wanted one parameter, someone else wanted it grouped differently.
Right.
Someone wanted to see one additional column. That can be very frustrating from an administration perspective, but these new tools are really allowing, you know, the business users that need the data to manage it a little bit on their own.
And, you know, what makes me nervous when I put my DBA hat on is this guy goes off, hits four different reports, grab four different web parts. You know, what's the query look like behind that?
Yep. And that comes down to the person or people that are writing the data sets and writing the queries, the stored procedures. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to make sure, just like with any piece of development that involves SQL Server, reports need to be carefully written as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make sure that you're returning only the data that you need, no more, no less. Make sure that the tables you're using have indexes on them. Make sure you're using them, checking your query plans, doing the query tuning.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes down to it, reporting services are still using SQL Server, and its queries need to be tuned just like any other part.
Sure. Well, and you mentioned early on here, you don't have to build reports against SQL Server, right? I can pretty much talk to any ODBC data source I want.
Correct. You can pull in from SQL Server analysis services. You could pull in from Oracle mm-hmm. or MySQL or even an existing Access database. You can even use flat files. Perhaps you have some, you know, Excel files that come in from another system. So really, the possibilities are very wide open.
And it just, you know, lends itself to getting yourself in even more interesting trouble. If somebody was to grab a web part that comes from one data source and another web part from another data source, and it's trying to create a relationship between those. I mean, we know on the back end that's fundamentally possible. I'm just wondering how well SSRS does or PowerView does to deal with that on the back end.
Not something you'd really need to worry about with PowerView because all of the, you know, all of the administration part is taken care of by, you know, some sort of report designer who understands that. But, mm-hmm. you know, with report parts, again, I think it comes down to administration and naming standards.
Right.
teaching, things that should be done well in an organization of any size, making sure that the people that are using them understand where these things are coming from and how they all fit together, at least at a basic point.
I mean, and it does appeal to me, the idea of letting the business types construct the initial form of their new report, just so that they can then turn around and hand it back to us and say, I really like the way this looks. I wish it was faster. And then we can go into the back end and try and fix it up.
Correct.
And that's a pretty normal practice. We're going to be able to see those things and just see, okay, this was drawn from multiple sources. Maybe we can write a better query to make this happen.
Yes.
And it always makes me nervous to try and switch out the underlying query for a given data set.
Yeah, that can be nerve-wracking to say the least.
I mean, the real challenge here is making sure you actually get the same results.
Yes. And again, that comes down to making sure that it is built correctly, making sure that it's tested thoroughly, just like any other part of development that involves SQL Server.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now, you mentioned it sort of in passing, but I think it's one of the elements that people forget about, that the administration of reporting services.
Yes. There is a whole world of reporting services administration that I think is not looked at nearly enough.
Mm-hmm.
And this can cover everything from, what server do I have my reporting services databases on? What else is on there? How busy is that? Do I know where all of my reporting services instances live? You'd be amazed at how few people I've seen that document that sort of information when you have an outage or you go to do an upgrade. I've seen some pretty unsuspecting things happen. People, all of a sudden a reporting services site goes down and they think, why? Well, nobody thought to tell them when they shut down that other server or upgraded it.
Right.
You know, when you publish out to a website or a SharePoint site, there are lots of things that you want to be configuring, particularly security related.
Sure.
People, I think, undervalue reporting services security. And this is where you can set up Active Directory groups and give just certain groups or certain users permission to specific folders. So, you may have instances where you're putting out all of these separate reporting services installations, one for each department maybe, or something, or business unit, not realizing that perhaps you could have just one main reporting services website and be assigning permissions. Everything can live in one place and be managed much more easily and just divvy up the security.
Right,
like
right.
Like you would any other resources in an environment.
Really, you're sort of describing multi-tenant reporting services.
Yeah.
Those different tenants being departments with different security policies, access to different reports.
Correct. Because you can grant access to the entire reporting services site, mm-hmm. to individual folders, even down to individual reports or even report parts. So it can be very granular.
Hmm. And this is really a role-based model?
Yes.
So
yes.
Stay away from assigning privileges to specific accounts, assign them to roles so that then we can add people to roles to have them access to those things.
That's the way I've always done it. We talk about, the power of Active Directory and groups just in a regular SQL Server installation.
Mm-hmm.
Extend that out to reporting services and you get the same power. It's really great. It makes administration much less of a headache. There are also a lot of other, administrative things that I think people that are dealing with reporting services really need to take a look at. There are configuration files that allow you to adjust, timeout settings. You can work with your own delivery providers. Maybe I don't want to mention that. That's a whole other topic. We can take that out of the final version. timeout settings and cache sizes and what add, when you set up subscriptions, what email address these things come from. These are all things that you can find tooling in
right.
reporting services. And I don't know if people are digging deeply enough into those kind of things.
And can I be sending out reports via email on different addresses based on back to that multi-tenancy concept. If it's for this department, it comes out of this address. That department comes out of that address. Is down to like the individual report?
Not quite. Per reporting services instance, there's only one from address.
Right.
But you can set up different reply to email addresses. So okay. If someone would receive a report and have a question, you could have that question directed to the correct person, department, business unit, however that would be needed.
Sure. But I also, I've dealt with the proliferation of SQL Server databases. There's an incentive and there's good tooling to go out and check in an organization to see where a SQL Server living. But that seems to be more motivated by just being license compliant than anything else. Because RS is just sort of included, it's almost viral. It just kind of proliferates and is not controlled in any way.
I've seen that happen, yes. Anytime SQL Server is installed, You can, like we mentioned, by default, just install reporting services along with it because it's included. So that's something that needs to be managed just as carefully, because what happens when you start to get, perhaps we'll call them rogue installations of reporting services with someone who's, downloaded Report Builder and is building their own reports based off of, data sets they've created.
Yeah.
You may have a master site which really holds the real data, the truth data, and this person is making reports that are similar, but perhaps, a table source is different, or an aggregation is done differently, an expression is built differently, and someone may get two sales reports
with different numbers.
And they think, why?
Yeah.
And that's something that the administrator really needs to head off and handle very carefully.
And I do think it's very destructive when you get into that situation, because once non-technical people start to distrust the numbers coming out of those reports, it's hard to get them back.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, they stop worrying about acting on the data and start questioning the data.
Exactly. And that's something that can take a really long time. That kind of damage can take a very long time to undo.
Sure, without a doubt. Yeah, you almost wish we had a more strict licensing model around report services so that we would be more diligent about managing it.
That would be nice. But then again, the nice thing with reporting services is it allows almost anyone to connect and use the free tool. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of knowing what its capabilities are, and with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
Managing that really well.
Yeah, actually keeping it under some sense of control. These are sort of less exciting sides of this thing, but what about the whole backup strategy? How do we cluster these things so they're reliable? Is there a lot of choice there? What can you do to keep reporting services running well?
Well, you want to make sure that for many people in the organization, they're not aware of all the back-end databases with all the tables and all the primary keys. For them, the data is the report.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they view it. Mm-hmm. A lot of times. So as administrators, we need to make sure that, we're aware of where our reporting services databases live and what data sources they connect to. We need to make sure that we're backing up our reporting services and reporting services TempDB databases like we do all of our others.
Sure.
Those databases contain valuable information. What reports are published, what subscriptions you have, who your users are. That's important information that needs to be backed up regularly. Within reporting services itself, you have encryption keys that need to be backed up and stored so that if you would lose your instance and need to restore it, you can get that information back. There's reports are built as the RDL files.
Right.
If you have those, on a network location or in a source control, you need to make sure those are valuable business documents, essentially, that mm-hmm. need to have a regular maintenance strategy. Make sure that they're backed up like any other important things. There are some good free tools to help with that. One that comes to mind right off the top of my head is RS Scripter. Great tool I've used for years that allows you to select a reporting services site. You can script out all of the objects on it or just some of them, move them to, a backup location or even deploy them to a new site if needed. So that makes your job a lot easier.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing is even when you have that RDL file, you can't just copy it over to anywhere else and make it run. There's some hoops to jump through.
Yep. You need to make sure that you have the data sources that the RDL connects to. You need to make sure that the people that had access, the security, again, that we were talking about, is set up for that RDL. So you're right. It's not just that simple. You need to make sure you're looking at the whole strategy so that if something happens to one of your reporting services installations, you can bring it back up.
Just
like any other application or database in your infrastructure.
Well, and I wrestle with this idea that we have different bits that are backed up in different ways, like actually having a coherent, this is the reporting services infrastructure backup is I think a little hard. It's not just one thing. It's a bunch of different bits. The RDLs are a part of it. The databases are part of it. Like it's not trivial.
I agree. Yeah. It would be nice to have, you know, in some ways it would be nice to have a backup reporting services button.
Yeah. and it backs up the website or the SharePoint instance and the files and the backend store pieces like that. That's an interesting overall part of the equation.
Yes.
Still not well solved.
You know, but that doesn't exist at this point in time. So I think it rests on, you know, the database administrators to be aware of all of these things and take them into consideration. Do the best job that you can for your organization.
Yeah, and just try and stay on top of that. So what's next for you? You headed to some conferences. Where can we see you or listen to you do your thing?
Well, my next couple months are going to be fairly busy. I'll be at People Saturday 118 in Madison, Wisconsin in April. In May, I'll be at People Saturday 119 in Chicago. I'll be heading to SQL Cruise Alaska at the end of May, beginning of June. So that's going to be a really nice and fun and exciting and in-depth training, you know, smaller sort of thing. And my son is actually pretty clear, but I know for sure I'll be heading out to PATH Summit. I'm in Seattle in November. I'm in the middle of changing jobs right now, so things are a little chaotic. But as I settle in, you can always go to my blog less@lessthandot.com and find out where I'll be next.
Great, Jess. Thanks so much for talking to me.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day, Richard.
You too. And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.